If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey guys. Paul here. Come along and see us. Let's go.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Oh, boy. Hey, I got, 2 minutes ago, I got some really, really cool news. I'm very excited. If you don't mind me bragging on my little man, I'm very excited.
Oh, okay. Please go ahead.
So my little guy is, he made the golf team, and they're like 12, 13 kids on the golf team. So they announced the first match, and there are only six of them. He's one of the six.
Oh,
I'm
how
so
great.
Proud of him. Be out there Friday watching him play golf and stuff. And it's just, you know, the joy ride continues.
I love
and then
it.
I was chatting with my daughter in Los Angeles, whose man is a former military guy who's now in the National Guard, and he's been deployed for, I believe it was 4 months. To go down for border security, and she's going out of her mind because she can't talk to him. They are kind of like sequestered.
Oh,
a little behind
the
scenes National Guard stuff that I thought I'd share with
you. I was
everybody.
Hoping they'd send him to D.C. so I could visit.
Yes.
Right up the street. Sure.
Go to the government centers and say, say hey, say what's happening. So that's a really good piece of news to the show with today.
Do you think he's in charge of painting?
No, trash pickup.
I don't know. I mean, it's weird. The whole world is upside down. It's very, very weird. We'll talk a little bit about that.
I don't know why
today.
You say that, Mike. I think everything's great.
You think everything's wonderful?
Yeah, love it.
Everything's great. Just great, great.
Groovy. Great, great, great.
So we start the show today ready for a little cross-pollination here. We're going to talk to a podcaster who there has been a tremendous amount of documentaries, dramedies, not dramedies, drama docs that are on now about scamming, and in particular, scamming by telling the world you're sick when you're really not sick. Mm-hmm. There's a huge story out of Australia from a few years back where this young lady started an entire wellness brand based on the fact that she had a brain tumor, and she didn't. She was lying. And there's another story out there about a young girl that gets trolled viciously online, and it turns out to be her own mother.
Yes.
There's a lot of BS. I actually wrote it down on my show prep today. I'm beginning to think it's all just BS. And if you somehow get into some kind of altercation, it's just relentless, in my opinion. It's relentless to a point where I've never seen it quite like this. In every aspect of society, you're best to really hunker down, and we'll get to that later in the show. But the podcast host we want to talk to, the podcast is called The Messenger, The Rachel Cancer Scam. It seems to be a thing that you hear a lot about people that say they're sick, but they ain't sick.
But they ain't so sick.
But this gentleman's name is Harry. Before we bring him on, let's play a clip, a trailer for The Messenger, which is a podcast, The Rachel Cancer Scam. Roll it.
I waited my whole life to fall in love with the perfect woman. And in 2021, Rachel became my fiance and was pregnant with our child. Our baby was going to have the best mother. I mean, how many moms are a lawyer? trauma nurse and a pilot. Boy, was Rachel strong. She had persevered through so many hardships. The death of a sister, a suicide attempt of close family members, and countless other tragedies, one after another. Finally, we were together, happy and in love. But just when I thought I was living the life I always wanted, a routine checkup for Rachel turned out to be our worst nightmare. Stage 4 cancer, followed by paralysis. And worse yet, confined to what they call protective isolation, where I couldn't even see her for a year and a half. Near the end, I feared that phone call, telling me it was over and that I had lost her. Cancer's just so cruel. I finally found my person. Cancer was taking her away. But as it would turn out, every single thing that I just told you about her was a lie.
And there you go.
Let's bring in Harry. No last name here. We're going to bring Harry on. Harry, why no last name? I'm curious about that. Not to put you on the spot right out of the gate, but I'm just curious about
that. It's fine. I saw the exchange and the messages as I was waiting in the waiting room when I said to Josh, I don't use my last name. I don't know that it's necessarily logical. It's in my head that I want to kind of keep my civilian non-cancer scam life away from it. There's, it's out there.
It's fine. That's cool. Yeah. You kind of answered the question. Yeah. I'm not going to press you on it. Yeah. Let's start with, first of all, with all of the streaming shows that I've consumed lately, as you began to get into that list, Harry, it took me 5 seconds just to kind of do the eye roll with that, where early on it sounded, something's going, there's just too much. So before we get underway here and you tell your story, and I'm going to give you the floor, the messenger, the Rachel cancer scam, how do people get to this podcast? And tell us all about the podcast and what it entails, please.
The podcast is available audio version everywhere, iHeart, Spotify, Apple Podcast. I think the easiest way to do it is just to go to YouTube and punch in the Rachel Cancer Scam.
Okay.
The podcast is there. It's a bunch of long form videos and short form videos. This began as a love letter to Rachel. I mean, this started when I thought Rachel was in the hospital. You were talking about the Belle Gibson story out of Australia, apple cider vinegar.
Yeah.
As we went into this, right, yeah. Mike?
Right.
This has become commonplace. These women and these people think that it is okay to get people's attention and to use the excuse that they're sick, they have cancer. What better way to pull on someone's heartstrings than to say, oh, I have cancer. I have cancer. I knew Rachel for 21 years before this started. That's the crazy thing about this. Most scammers, Belle Gibson in Australia came in and out of people's lives. Amanda Riley in Northern California, in and out of people's lives. Sherry Papini, that story happened and then it didn't happen, right? It was gone. I knew Rachel for half of her life. I loved her at some level, right? I met her when she was 21 years old. She was competing in the Miss Texas USA beauty pageant. She was doing all kinds of things. Phenomenally beautiful woman and so charming. One of those people that you meet and you just love right away. There's nothing not to like about her in the early days. Mm-hmm. And then she began the cancer scam about 10 years after that with me. We weren't in each other's lives consistently. About 2012, 2013, she told me she had cancer and she had gotten beaten up by her husband at the time. And, I was fit to be tied. I'm just, I'm one of those guys. Like, I don't screw around. It pissed me off. And then to learn she had cancer, it took her 3 days to stop me from going to California where they were to deal with her husband and go, that part of your life is over. I'm going to take care of that for you. And then you get healthy and that's it. Not like we're going to be together at this point. Just I'm going to take care of business because that's what I do. And time passed, and then we ended up eventually both being single at the same time in 2021. And when that happened, I remember looking at her. I was at Brophy Brothers in Santa Barbara, And I was looking across the table at this woman that I thought had become a lawyer. She was a nurse. She put herself through law school. And she was someone who had an awful upbringing, had sexual assault in her background. It just overcame adversity. And she, I'm looking at her and she's beautiful and she's smart and she's a great mom. And I thought to myself, the wheels are turning. Maybe it's time for us to be together. And I planted those seeds. And over the next 4 months, I'm continuing to plant the seeds. We met in Santa Barbara in November, a month after we met in Santa Barbara in November. And I had said to her, listen, let's take a shot at being together. On December 17th, 2021, I asked her to think about marrying me. And she said, I will marry you on three conditions. She gave me the three conditions. 2 days later, Mike, Josh, Rob, she's pregnant. She's got cancer. In the same day, 2 days after I asked her to marry me, she laid the groundwork for this. She thought she was pushing me out. I'm not the first guy she scammed with cancer and pregnancy. Mm-hmm. There are many other guys. My story has turned into a true crime
story. Let me stop you there for a second. So you say right at the beginning of the relationship, she announces to you she's pregnant? With your child? Is that what she alleges in this? She's pregnant and she has cancer?
December 19th, which is about a month and a half after we started to see each other consistently, she asked me at 8 o'clock in the morning to give me the dates that we were together. Go back in your calendar and look when we were together. And I thought, that's kind of interesting. And then I thought to myself, boy, it's like a woman asking, like checking, you know, her period, whatever. She came, mm-hmm. and she came clean. She said, I missed my period. Last time I was late for my period or I missed, my cancer had come back. So she's setting me up in a sense for that. I was 55 years old at the time, mm-hmm. on December 19th of 2021. I'd never had any biological kids. And I thought, well, this is interesting. And then she said, I may be sick. And she said, the oncologist wants me to go and give blood. And I'll have some answers at the end of the day. And by the end of that day, 2 days later, 48 hours after she said, I'll marry you. And the same day, she said, I have cancer and I'm pregnant. My HCG levels are elevated. And that started this whole show.
Yeah.
And by the way, you talk to any of my friends, the Billy Bush interview is not out, but you know, you guys have a relationship with Billy Bush.
Hey, Billy Bush, the golden boy. We used to call Billy Bush the golden boy. Hey, you doing? Yes, sirree, man. It's great. It's fantastic.
And then, of course, that thing happened.
Undone, yeah.
Feel bad for Billy. Always have about that, damn it. Yeah. But anyway, I digress.
By the way, Billy Bush said, when you talk to Mike O'Meara, you tell him that Leah Remini's my neighbor. And as he's telling me the story, he walks me over to his fence and he said, that's Leah Remini's house right there. And I said, oh, that's
great.
Very interesting. And then he said, you got to tell Mike that I was away in Maine in August. And my daughter had some friends over and Leah Remini called me saying, your daughters are having a party, Billy. And she narked out on the daughters. So
she would do. Yeah,
it does. I don't know what it all means, but
By the way, I have said, I think I've said it on this show a couple of times, you know, with the whole blow up with Don and myself and Leah like a million years ago,
right.
I would give anything to get Leah on the show again, just yes. to, you know, and we've tried, we've reached out. Rob, you've done it probably a million times.
A million times.
Her.
We even loved booked a friend of hers.
If we have to go through Billy, I'd like to get Billy on the show again, too.
I'd love
and,
it.
And that would be fun.
I think we get you up to the fence.
Get me a ticket. I'll go visit my daughter in L.A. and I'll go, you know, hang out on the lawn. It'll be great.
This is why Josh is the producer, because I was just about to say, when I go to Billy's in a couple weeks, I'll go to the fence and I'll throw rocks at her window and I'll get her attention and I'll get her on the show.
You'll end up in jail.
I think she's ballsy. I've always liked her and I'd love to get her on the show again. So you are... your background is your background in any kind of media at all?
Listen to my history. I was in radio in Boston, WZLX in Boston. I ran the Rochester cluster for CBS and Infinity. Brother Weeze worked for me. I'm a close friend of Tim Sabian's.
Okay.
I got radio in my blood.
Can you say that name again?
Tim Sabian. Sabian. Yeah.
Yep. That's my own. I won't burden you with that. Go ahead.
Fine, but sorry. I love Sabian. I love
for another time.
Yeah. At any rate, so my background is radio. So, you know, as a broadcaster, I wanted to be able to do this story in a way that was different than other podcasts as well, right? We know what's happened with the media and social media and podcasting. Now it's turned non-broadcasters into broadcasters. Mm-hmm. I wanted to use my background and my abilities to create and craft the storytelling component of what I'm doing.
It's an amazing sounding project. When you drop the needle on it, just sounds so great.
Look, it's an advantage. I mean, I don't interrupt, and I don't interrupt when I'm entertained. And just hearing you tell it and the way you tell it and the way you're able to do that, unfortunately, so many podcasters, even stand-ups that are good at their particular craft, can't craft it. Radio guys, I think, have an ability to do that, and that's what makes this fascinating. And the question I will ask you, and I don't mean to jump in right away, but I have to ask this question. Do you find that being a radio guy, and I will call you radio because you remind me of a radio guy.
It's
a lot
in
of
my
radio
blood.
Guys I know.
Yeah.
Do you find that as an individual, your personality was drawn to all this drama? That you, when you talk about she had a relationship that was bad and she was, you know, abused, and then she had that. Did you find that you were, that it initially you didn't question because you were just, you know, it was fine for you? Because that's the, you know, I'm going to be, this is a good story that I have, too. Do you understand what I'm saying with that?
I do. And I'll send you in a different direction for that, because I never thought about it like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, radio, we would always say, our program directors would always say, it's theater of the mind, right?
That's what it is. Sure.
That's what it is. It's
100%.
So with me, you know, I have this background for the last 25 years in the same martial arts program. I'm a protective kind of guy. To me, it was about, you know, there's always been something about me with the damsel in distress, I suppose, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Heather McDonald and the Juicy Scoop referred to me as Captain Save-A-Ho. But the reality is that's, you know, that may not be far from the truth. I'll take that whooping. But no, I don't think I was attracted to the drama. It was more that there's someone that needs some help. There's a woman that's being beaten up and abused, and I can do something to mitigate that.
Okay.
May I ask a question about that? When you go back to when you first met in around the year 2000, I think you said, at that point, was she exhibiting those? Did she have the cancer at that point, or when you first met her? Okay, so when do you feel she started to drop seeds to start the scam? Did it happen all along?
Hey, watch that. You know, she's talking about being pregnant.
I understand.
Is that what you're talking? Is that what you're referring to?
No. And by the Mike, I'll explain. The girl doesn't drop the seeds.
I understand that.
Okay.
You know, just, but planting seeds.
I'm just curious, when, in retrospect, it's probably much easier to see than when it's going on. When did she start to begin the scam when you look back in retrospect? Because you knew her a long time before you got genuinely involved with her, right?
I met her in 2001. We dated casually at that point. I met her in Houston, and then she moved to Los Angeles. And at that point, really the lies began there, because she said she was moving to LA to do some work as, you know, as an actress if she could, but she was mainly there so that she could go to UCLA Law School. The goal was to become a lawyer.
When did she become a pilot?
She never I realized as I'm watching your faces, I had the benefit of listening to my voice on the trailer, which drives me crazy to hear my voice.
It's a great trailer.
And I'm watching your faces, and I'm like, oh God, what am I in for? I got to redo the trailer, because she never ran the pilot scam on me. She ran it on women at work. So if if you listen to the story, I explain that piece of it. And listen, it's, you know, 34 episodes of my podcast is a lot for you guys to get through. So giving you a summary, letting you skip through it and find some of the good parts. She didn't run the pilot and the trauma nurse scam on me. She ran the I'm a nurse, I'm an LVN, which is the level below an RN. And she said, I'm a lawyer. Those were the two scams she ran with me. And then in 2012, she had set me up with the I have cancer. All those things in 2012, she was getting closer to getting her law degree. She had cancer for the first time. And Law degree, cancer. There was something else in my mind.
Sorry.
What it was.
Sponge. So she's she sets the table with all of this. And I urge everybody to, you know, check out The Messenger and, mm-hmm. and listen to all 34 episodes because I think it's fascinating. And these are not easy things to condense. They're really not, especially when you go, this went on for years and years and years. I'll jump to this. When was the very first time that moment, that bell went off where you just went,
Yeah.
Well. Well, there was what a, did, there, was, yeah. was it a clue? Was it a did it pop into your head? Did something happen? How did that work?
There were a couple things that happened. The first major one was, and I talk about it, I think, in episodes 5 or 6, where it's called I Should Have Listened to Billy Bush. And when Rachel told me that she was going to Cancun on vacation, she was pregnant with our baby. She was also going to start chemo at that time. And so she's going to take chemo with a pill to protect the baby. And she gets there and she, you know, there's this sequence of events happens while she's in Mexico where she's violently ill from the chemo. And I'm worried at that time because think about throwing up, right? I don't know when the last time is you threw up, but I was thinking about this the other
before
night.
Before the show. I'm sorry. I can't help myself. It's
a shame you weren't with us earlier.
Every day, like clockwork.
And then I get to guess what he had for breakfast.
Are you hearing it or are you witnessing it?
Yeah, I'm
Are you hearing it on the other side of a door where when she's getting violently ill?
No, but I was thinking to myself about how violent it is to throw up. Yeah, and I was immediately brought back to the last time I threw up. I could tell you when it was. Mm-hmm. And I thought, it's so violent to not be able to control your stomach.
Oh, it's the worst.
Come out of your nose or your mouth. Just brutal. So she's telling me that she's sick in Mexico in this room, locked in a bathroom. Her girls are enjoying their vacation and she's sick and she can't tell her daughters that she has cancer. Can also not speak about pregnancy. The whole thing is a lie, right? She's telling me that she won't tell them anything yet. She'll eventually have to tell them about pregnancy, but she's not ever going to tell them that she's sick with cancer. For whatever reason, she doesn't want to put them through that. That's the lie she sets up with me. I'll never speak to my daughters about cancer.
At the time, did that land as truthful and understandable?
It did, but I had an issue with it.
That's the moment where you kind of said, that sounds a little hinky to me.
That's one. And I talked to my mother, who's a nurse anesthetist, and my father, a pathologist who found his own cancer, and my GP is a close friend of mine. And they say, that's a mistake. With this kind of cancer, if it accelerates, she's not going to make it, you know, and especially my father, who found his own cancer. And so I didn't pick that fight. I thought, let's just see what happens. I've got time. So while she's in Mexico, she's getting sick over and over again. And then at one point she said, I don't feel good. I feel like something's wrong with the baby. And here comes the shoe to drop.
Right.
She said, I'm going to call the doctor. They're going to send somebody up with a Doppler unit. We know Doppler from radar, from the weather. Apparently there's a Doppler unit that's portable that they can do an ultrasound with. They bring it up. 15 minutes later, she sends me a text. She said, Harry, I'm so sorry. I lost the baby. There's no heartbeat.
It's amazing the speed that medicine works nowadays.
Or doesn't, right? Right?
The ability to do this, the people that do this pathologically, I would imagine it's probably a lifetime, Harry, of her not only doing it, but getting better at it, right? Where she had little systems, I suppose. That's the way that worked.
I have one that I'm going to speak with you about in a few minutes that I have not spoken publicly about. I'm going to kind of spill the tea on something that's literally breaking news. She has been grifting at some level, as you just said, for her entire existence from shortly after her dad died in 1989.
Wow.
Through present day, there's been some lying happening. She lied to me when she said moving to LA to go to law school. She was stripping. She was working in the adult entertainment industry. When I met her, she was an escort. I should have known when the way we first met, and she was an escort, that she was going to be nothing but a liar. I should have known, but I didn't. I just fell in love with the woman I thought she was. She was charming and captivating and very smart, by the way. Most of these people that do this are of people of tremendous intellect. They have to craft a story. Mm-hmm. And they have to craft it in a way that's believable. And with me, her story was believable.
Was there any truth? Were the kids real?
I had dinner with the kids. The kids were real.
Okay.
The story had elements that were real, but she is the type of evolved con artist that's able to run multiple cons at a time. That's how these people get good. It's like, you know, I explained it like it's like the shell game at the boardwalk, mm-hmm. right? Put your $5 up there, and if you guess where the ball is, I'll double your money. But no one ever doubles their money. The con always ends up with the $5 from you. All three of you guys got $15.
Speaking of money, since we are talking about it, was there a financial element to this? Was that what she may have been looking for? I mean, you say, you know, she's a dancer, she's an escort, that's money. And was that one of the things she was looking for out of all this?
You know what's the saddest part of this for me was reading a message that her husband sent to me. Rachel, at one point after she was caught with me and another man, basically at the same time, so she was involved with three men, she wrote to her husband apologizing. She said to him, and I have this text, "I lied to Harry about cancer for attention." It wasn't about money. Most cons involve the legal tender. They involve something tangible. The only thing that was tangible in all of this that was taken was here, right? In my heart.
With that
timeline, she was looking for attention. Go ahead, Ram.
Yeah, with that timeline, her need for attention starting in the early 2000s and coming to the unfortunate end that it did, do you feel that it's sort of fueled by the look at me movement of social media? Because that's not something that people probably would have tried 40, 50 years ago.
What are you holding up there?
I'm holding up the timeline that I made of Rachel's activities.
Let me make him larger.
I spent 8 hours doing this. This starts right here in 1998 when she tricked her first boyfriend with a fake ultrasound. And it goes here, by the way. It's not up to date. I'm out of room on the page.
Where are you now with it? Where do we stand now with this? Is this ongoing?
It's ongoing. She hasn't been stopped. What happened after she was caught with me? I turned this from what I thought was just the sweetest love story that I'd ever known or ever would know into this podcast, thinking the podcast would just be a sad cautionary tale for people to listen to.
Right.
And as I got to the end of season one, I realized that she had run for the water board in Santa Clarita and embezzled campaign funds. I realized that she had taken and stolen state benefits from Cap Slow in San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties. I realized that she opened accounts in her daughter's name. I realized that she took benefits in the way of an EBT card. I realized she went to a traffic accident and gave her daughter's information. And on.
All of a sudden,
there's this pattern of shit. Like this puts Scamanda, this puts the woman in Australia,
Belle
Gibson, that puts her to shame. Like none of those girls were criminals. They were criminals because they stole money.
Yeah, I'm getting a feel with is it Belle Gibson? Is that Belle was, you know, I got a real broken, mentally ill vibe off of Belle, although she did benefit from the money, but she, you know, the pattern of the way she continued, I'm getting a real, almost a professional level grift vibe off this Rachel. That's what I'm hearing from you.
She is an evolved scammer. I keep trying to end the podcast. I keep saying to my producer, Matt, I'm done. Season two, I'm done. And he keeps saying season three, jail, because she's going to jail.
Sure.
Any blowback on you? Is there any, you know, any threats of anything? Is she laying low? Is she going underground? Is she, you know, where, you know, does she reach out? Have you gotten any warnings or have you had anything suspicious in your life where she might be up to something? Where does it stand with you right now?
It's interesting. I haven't talked about this because it just happened last night, but I had this crazy anxiety dream in last night. I was in Sacramento with my girlfriend, and I woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and she had handed me a note that was left on the windshield of my car that said, "We know where you live. There are pictures of your backyard. There are pictures of the dog. We're going to we're going to find you.
And this is a dream we're talking about.
This is a dream."
Right.
And that was the first time where I felt like, oh, I might be in some level of risk. I don't think about it in those terms. You know, I've been doing what I've been doing recreationally for 25 years as a hobby, which I mentioned at the beginning of the show. I'm a CCW guy. I don't really care about much of anything. I think it was Ruth in Ozark that said, "You don't know shit about fuck." Right? Like if they're gonna come knocking, they better come heavy.
Yeah.
Okay. So no, right. I don't hear from her. And the other issue is, would she sue you? Right? You're talking about all these things. I'm careful about not showing her eyes. I don't give her last name. It's out there. There are people that are starting to dox her. Mm-hmm. I'm not for that. I always say to people, let me fight my fight. Don't get in the middle of it. I don't need you to fight my battle. Let me tell my story. Rachel will get her punishment after she gets arrested for doing what she's doing.
Go ahead, Rob.
One thing you said that's really stuck in my head right now is you talk about how intelligent she was, how smart she was, and how many scammers are very intelligent people. Do you think that her accelerated intelligence made her think she could pull off more than a human could pull off? Did she eventually talk herself into being the smartest person in the room, and that's why the lies got so outlandish?
It's a very astute observation and question, right? I think she believed that there's no one that I can't pull the wool over their eyes. Mm-hmm. I'll give you one example. There's a case right now. The reason I say that I think Rachel's going to get arrested, there's a case right now involving her husband, Mark. She's still married to the same guy she was married to in 2002, by the way.
Oh, wow.
He's trying to divorce
her. So she was married during the whole time with your relationship?
Mm-hmm. Whole time.
Wow.
I had no idea.
Okay.
So when she was found out, I stayed in contact with her a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get information. I knew at that point that she was setting him up. She had set him up to me as an abuser. She said, "The reason I lied to you is because I'm basically being held captive and an abused spouse." And I thought, this is going to be where I'm going to come into action. Heather McDonald on the Juicy Scoop had one great question. I mean, she had a number of great questions, but one of her questions was, what's the end game? Do you think Rachel wanted to
have
you? I was
going to ask the same question. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you kill him? And that kills two birds with one stone, right? You kill him, you go to prison, and she gets to go be with her guy. Like, for me, who she didn't take any money from. She took a ring and a few $1,000.
Okay, so there's no money element in that.
Yeah. No,
right.
There's no money element. But wow. What she's doing to him right now, Mike and Rob and Josh, this is crazy. She has built a case where she claims that Mark was sending her threatening text messages. Messages like, "I'm watching you. You're never going to be anyone else's." The stalker type messages that we hear about. Those messages she receives on her phone, she goes to the court, gets a restraining order, and she realizes that she can pull one over on the court, and she goes to the police department. Mark gets arrested because the police think, well, she gave this to the family court. It must be legitimate, all mm-hmm. the evidence. They arrest him last September. He's been wearing an ankle bracelet since last September. In March, we get enough evidence to go to them and say, listen, the text messages were sent to Rachel by herself. The police begin investigating it. So the police investigated. I have a report from the Pinger Corporation that owns Text Free that says Rachel sent herself threatening text messages. Wow. The district attorney in San Luis Obispo is continuing to prosecute Mark on Friday. Today's, we're sitting here on Tuesday.
Right.
On Friday, Rachel goes in to testify after Detective Steve Boyette from the Paso PD, who said in front of the judge, to the court, to her lawyer and to Mark's lawyer, Mark didn't send those messages to Rachel. It's likely Rachel sent them to herself. The judge didn't want to admit certain evidence. They're going to have to go back to court. But Rachel is so smart, so astute, such a great grifter that she gets on the stand 10 minutes after the cop gets off. And she has the balls to read one of those threatening text messages. One of those messages that's highlighted in the evidence in the police report that says she didn't receive this from Mark. She sent it to herself. That's who this is. Wow. That's who we're dealing with.
Well, ballsy. You know what? I tell you, I'm diving in. You got me. You sold me on this. This is something I think everybody should check out because there are people like this everywhere. There really are.
On the show.
The messenger. Not that guy down in the lower right-hand corner there.
No. I guarantee you it's
that guy is a square shooter.
Yes. He is.
My opinion. If he's lying to me, then that's the last one. I'll
by the way, I miss radio. I love radio. And you know, when next time Josh is out or Rob is out, you need someone to fill in, you call me.
No, you're some radio. I thought you were a radio guy through and through. You remind me of my other radio buddy down here, Mark Miller. And it's fantastic. I love radio people. It's a lot of fun. The podcast is The Messenger, The Rachel Cancer Scam. If you want to learn about grifters, and they come in all shapes and sizes, and they come in all walks of life, and it just sounds fascinating.
The storytelling is magnificent. I know, Mike, you fancy yourself a storyteller as well, and I love people that can tell stories. This unfolds like a true, almost like a novel. It's unbelievable, but it is so well told.
Even talking to Harry right here, it backs up 1,000% what I will tell my son when I sit him down before he goes off to college. And I will say, don't date an escort. That's what I will tell him.
That's what you've always said, Mike.
Really, thank you very much for we're going to keep tabs on you. And if you have something that's going to be like coming up on this next episode and you want to promote it because it's a big thing, I'm all in right now. And this will be fun. And really, it's fun for us. But I can imagine living it has taken a little bit out of you, I would imagine.
I have a story that I'm going to release in a couple weeks, and I'm going to reach out to Josh the week before I do it. And it's going to blow your socks off. It's exactly, almost word for word, what she did to me to another guy who's going to be on this podcast.
Wow.
And I will break that because I was a fan of the Don and Mike show. Mm-hmm. That's how far I go back.
Wow. Yeah.
I'll break that story with you guys.
That's awesome. I'd love to do it, and we'd love to get you back on. The podcast is The Messenger, The Rachel Cancer Scam. Harry, good luck with everything. And, man, I want her to go to jail now. And, I want to see it on the silver screen as well. We'll take a short break. Thank you, Harry. And
Thank you, Harry.
Come back with our news and all that fun. That is just... You know, there's so much of that online now. There's so much of that on streaming. And, you know, with Belle Gibson down in Australia now with Rachel and, you know, different
types. But to talk to the real guy who felt all this is next level. I wonder if, and the next time he's on, I'll ask him.
You're lonesome tonight. Oh, sorry.
She named the night, Mike. I wonder if doing the podcast was therapeutic for him the way this show can be therapeutic for us. When we're dealing with some sort of issue.
Oh, 100%.
It's got to be.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
It has to be. That's really fun. Thanks for bringing him to us, Josh. We appreciate it. You know, comfort is personal. For me, comfort is crawling into bed at the end of a long day and knowing I'm going to wake up feeling good, not sore, not sweaty, just rested. That's why I love what Avocado Green Mattress is doing. Their eco-organic mattress is their most affordable option. But here's the thing. It doesn't cut corners. It's a hybrid latex mattress with the perfect medium firmness, soft, supportive, and designed to last. You'll feel just as good getting into it as you do getting out of it. And here's something I really appreciate. Avocado owns their own springs, wool, and latex supply, so they pass the savings on to you. That means you get healthier, organic sleep at a surprisingly affordable price without compromise. Plus, it's sustainably made with trusted certifications that prove it's better for you and the planet. That's real peace of mind. So head to avocadogreenmattress.com today and save up to 20% on Avocado's certified organic mattresses. Dream of better.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
We've got the news coming up, but first I want to tell you, are you having trouble shutting your brain off at night? Soul's out-of-office gummies are your ticket to calm, helping you relax, quiet the noise, and drift off naturally with the perfect mix of CBD and THC. They deliver a smooth buzz that melts stress, lifts your mood, and sparks creativity. Choose your vibe from a light 1.5 milligram microdose to the bold new 15 milligram gummy when you want to fully unplug. Rob is in love with the 15s, baby. Yowza! Prefer sipping? Try the new out-of-office beverage, a refreshing alcohol-free way to unwind solo or with friends. And when it's deep, restorative sleep you're after, Soul Sleep Gummies have you covered. Every product is hemp-derived, delicious, and crafted with wellness in mind, so you can actually feel good about feeling good. Bring on the good vibes and treat yourself to Soul today. Right now, Soul is offering our audience 30% off your entire order. Go to GetSoul.com and use the code TMOS. That's GetSoul.com, promo code TMOS for 30% off, everybody.
Mike, I can recommend Soul Gummies because I'm a doctor and a pilot.
That's when we all kind of like recoiled when we heard that. A doctor and a pilot. Pilot, doctor, all that good stuff.
Nurse.
You know.
Wow. Yeah.
It's funny. Hey, how many, oops, I'm at the wrong spot. Let me do that again. I apologize. Wait a minute. What did I do? I turned everything upside down. I'm all
And I don't buy the fact that Harry says he doesn't like the sound of his own voice. If I sounded like that, I would love listening to that. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm calling him on that. That's a scam.
All right, hold on a second. A lewd note allegedly from Donald Trump wishing late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein happy birthday in 2003 and alluding to their unnamed wonderful secret was released Monday by Democratic lawmakers after the U.S. president denied it existed. Democrats on the U.S. House Oversight Committee, which is probing the handling of criminal investigations into the financier, published the letter on social media after it was delivered by Epstein's estate. The note is inserted into the sketched outline of a nude woman and was allegedly part of a book of letters from Epstein's friends compiled by his now imprisoned associate, Ghislaine Maxwell, for his 50th birthday. So it goes on to say in the note, and it's just kind of a stick figure. If you've probably seen it by now,
it's
viral.
It's the one that one of the papers put out, and he said he was going to sue them for it, saying it was fake a few weeks ago.
Here's what the content is. We have certain things in common, says Donald, to which Jeffrey responds, yes, we do, come to think of it. Enigmas never age. Have you noticed that? Asked Donald. As a matter of fact, it was clear to me the last time I saw you, says Jeffrey. This is very interesting. A pal is a wonderful thing. Happy birthday. And may every day be another wonderful secret. The note ends, followed by Trump's signature, which takes the place of the Cuba area down there. So, obviously, being denied, vehemently denied by the Trump camp. And if you see it, it's, I don't know. I mean, as I put down on my show prep today, I'm beginning to think everything is, who knows what the truth is, what's nothing, nobody knows. If you don't have people on video, you know, if you don't have a video camera of him sitting there writing the note, and then the camera showing him sign it. I mean, you know what I mean? It's just,
it proves
your,
one
it
thing
makes your
to
head
me.
Spin is what it does.
It proves one thing to me based on his signature. The person that he was drawing did not come from Brazil.
I get it. That's a waxing joke.
It is a waxing joke, Mike. Speewax.
Fantastic. Thank you. Remember the Kiss cam at the Coldplay concert? You all
loved
remember
it.
That viral.
That was so fun.
Kristen Cabot, that was the lady's name. Her boss was Andy Byron, that was his name. Well, her estranged husband, Andrew Cabot, spoke out on their recent breakup. Shortly after news broke that former astronomer employee had filed for divorce from Andrew Cabot, a spokeswoman for the businessman told People September 8th that the couple were privately and amicably separated several weeks before the Coldplay concert.
I'm surprised this didn't come up before.
But wait a minute, Andy Byron wasn't separated, right?
No, he wasn't.
No,
she
no
was.
He wasn't.
Yeah, well, she
so
was.
It's still an issue.
It's still an issue where they were seen on the Jumbotron canoodling. How I would
is that your favorite TMZ-styled verb? I love when they
canoodling.
Use
canoodling.
Yeah, they were spotted canoodling.
Let's see. Their decision to divorce, quote, their decision to divorce was already underway prior to that evening, says the spokesperson for Andrew, who is the CEO of Privateer Rum. So he's a big player, too. He's a CEO. He's a money man.
And he gave it 3-4 weeks so that people would start talking about his business instead of the other guy's business.
Yeah. Quote, now the divorce filing is public. Andrew hopes this provides respectful closure to speculation and allows his family the privacy they've always valued.
I wish him all the best because he's busy. You know, he's also a registered nurse and a pilot.
You can't get over that one, right?
I can't. I will know that. And a lawyer. And my stage 4 cancer sufferer. But beat it once.
All right, let's get our palate cleanser now. KFC, you know them, you love them.
Most folks.
You know, I hate that it's KFC. I've always hated it when they change it. It's Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Exactly.
And Rob is bringing up the secret sauce as we speak.
No one heard that.
KFC announced an official line of jelly beans.
I love to eat jelly beans.
That tastes like stuff on their menu.
Hey, Colonel, do you have any jelly beans in your pocket?
Jelly beans, herbs, and spices and candy, they go hand in hand. Each bag comes with 3 flavors. Are you ready?
Yes.
These jelly beans the flavors are fried chicken.
Good.
Sweet corn.
Actually, I would try that. I would like corn.
And Rob's favorite beverage. What's your favorite beverage, Rob? Brad said it at your wedding.
Gravy. And I would have gotten that right even without the prompt, but thank you.
If that somehow sounds good, you'll have to wait a little to try them. They're releasing them. Wow, they're ahead of the game. Early next year, ahead of Easter. That's when they're coming. I thought it'd be a Thanksgiving product.
Yeah. No. The Colonel loved Easter, Mike. The Colonel was a beautiful, wonderful man.
And they're being made by Jelly Bean. By Jelly Bean.
I found a way to cook. Take 2. I found a way to cook extra crispy. Come on over and try my crispy.
That's the real Colonel
Sanders. It's
entirely
different, and yet it's just as tender and tasty. No, and it's just as finger licking good. You see, I found a way to cook chicken deep down and get that real crispy crust that some folks like. And it's just as tender and
crispy.
I'll get it now.
Crispy.
I found a way to cook chicken deep down.
Crispy.
And get that crispy. Real crispy chicken crust. Yeah.
Mike, if you go on YouTube, there are several fascinating documentaries, brief ones, about Colonel Harlan Sanders.
Harlan.
Did you know that when he first established his chicken and gas station, a competitor opened up a business across the way, and he killed him.
Like murdered him?
Yeah, and got away with it.
Wow. And is this true, or is this like,
this is
now
true.
I don't believe anything.
Right. No, this is true.
Fly a plane?
No, he did not. And he was, but also, if you look, you can also find footage of the Harlan Sanders Museum that has a fully functioning talking animatronic of the Colonel. Wow. But he doesn't say most folks.
Road trip. Saturday Night Live returns October 4th. Rob's been diligent about watching almost all of them,
always giving
us an update of something special. It's season 51, and we finally know who's coming back. The cast will include Kenan Thompson is coming back. He's 78 years old. Kenan Thompson. Never a doubt. Chloe Fineman, I like her.
Yeah, she's good.
Rob loves Bowen Yang, and he's coming back.
He was leaving. Bowen thought he was leaving. I heard him do a long-form interview, and he was all ready to pack up, but I'm glad he's there.
He wanted attention.
Yeah, absolutely.
He also
Ego
said he was a pilot.
Dim. Ego noir dim.
Ego. I think it's Ego.
One of Rob's favorites, Mikey Day.
Oh, I meant that. I'm sorry.
Marcelo Hernandez. And Sarah Sherman.
She does a great bit where she comes on the news and accuses Colin of sexually harassing her in a horrible way, and it's great. I think she's brilliant. Yeah.
Michael Che and Colin Jost will also return to host Weekend Update. That's a good thing. The cast is losing Heidi Gardner. Oh, she's great. I mean, I think Heidi Gardner was the best part of some of those fake spots.
Oh, 100%.
Those fake TV commercials.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
I'm not familiar with the Please Don't Destroy trio. I know they're very popular, but
haven't you seen any? Well, I guess you haven't seen any of them. They made movies, like little Lost Island movies.
Okay.
And two of them have Saturday Night Live heritage. Like their parents worked for the show previous.
Ben Marshall joined the cast. Martin Herlihy will continue to write, and John Higgins left Saturday Night Live completely. Is that the trio guy?
Seems about right. The one who's in the cast is the redhead. The one who's staying on as a writer is the one with the glasses. And the nondescript one said bye-bye. So that's where they fall.
Adios, people. Drea De Matteo, she's the one from Sopranos. She finally went where her fans have been praying she'd go fully nude on OnlyFans. Unfortunately, she did it to warn us about geoengineering. Conspiracy theory stuff like chemtrails and other environmental manipulation. I guess she's a conspiracy theorist.
I guess so.
She says, quote, "We can choose what we eat. We can choose what goes in our arms. But we don't get a say when powerful interests spray the sky, tamper with our water, or poison our soil. If climate solutions mean breathing mystery air and drinking science experiments, the people deserve a vote." She said that on OnlyFans, I guess, when she was naked.
Mike, get back to me when an OnlyFans page opens up for Janet Soprano. I'm sorry.
Janice. Yeah. She adds, quote, "That's kind of, she was little when that show was on, Rob. You know, that's a little pervy, right? You know?
No, I'm talking about Tony's sister.
Oh, the one that shot the guy in the chest after he slapped her.
Yeah, she was no child.
I thought you were talking about the one that's all grown up now that was Tony's daughter.
Meadow.
She adds, quote, "This isn't about denying climate change. It's about rejecting unchecked geoengineering by those who treat our skies as a playground."
Her death prevented her from having having an OnlyFans.
What's her name? What's her character's name in The Sopranos? I forgot.
They call it Adriana?
Adriana.
Yeah, but Nancy Marchand never got an OnlyFans page.
No, and then she was Libby Soprano.
Yes, she was.
And she's going the Playboy route of thinking by putting the pictures there, people will read her article next to it.
Yeah.
About the geoengineering.
Yeah, gonna happen. She's a nurse and a pilot. Yeah.
That's exciting. Very, very exciting. And finally today, a man in Canada named Casper Lincoln was arrested after he was caught driving through town last weekend in a child-sized pink Barbie Jeep. He was also wearing aviator glasses, possibly for safety reasons. Casper claims he was being lazy and decided to take the Jeep out on a Slurpee run while a friend walked alongside him. He says he drove on the sidewalk mostly, but he did drive on the side of the road too, and that's what got him in trouble.
Yeah.
A cop pulled him over and noticed some real violations. Casper had a suspended license, and he also had a blood alcohol level above the legal limit. Shocker.
That is shocking.
Casper was arrested for DUI because he was on the road and he was prohibited from driving for 90 days, Turkey. In addition to whatever is happening with his suspended license, he was not speeding, though. The Barbie Jeep tops out at 5 miles per hour.
Yes.
Casper insisted he didn't know he was breaking the law and said he has no problems with the police. He even said the arresting officer was nice. When asked what his takeaway was, he said, "Don't drink and drive." And it was such a compelling story that I decided to take pen to paper and give you a lovely little verse.
I love when you do poetry.
Very poetic today. Here we go. A poem about Casper by Mike O'Mara.
Thank you.
This is the story of Casper Lincoln, who spent his weekend heavy drinking.
Nice.
"How many did you have?" they asked Casper Lincoln. "I really don't know, but I sure am stinking. I saw this real cool Barbie Jeep and decided this ride was mine to keep. I bring it back when I was done. In the meantime, I thought I'd have some fun." And that's the problem with Casper Lincoln. He's good at fun, but bad at thinking. So remember, the next time you go forth, especially in the Great White North, don't be like Casper. Don't drink and drive. Take an Uber. Stay alive. Or call a friend. Or ride a bike. Or go out any way you like. But if your friends' names are Barbie or Ken, you should probably just stay in. Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Julia had one of those Jeeps growing up, and never did she take a drink. Never.
My little Michael, and we don't have it anymore. We gave it away. Little John Deere tractor. Little lawn tractor that was super cool. I love that.
Did you take it away because his tomatoes were horrible last year? You said you don't deserve this?
I took it away because up in Maine, I got a DUI driving that thing around. It was really, really embarrassing. Hey, this podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines. Do you ever get lost in the dreaded grocery store wall of wine? Or one of those big wine stores that you go into? It's crazy stuff.
It is nuts.
I have trouble.
Bananas, Mike. It's bananas.
We have trouble even when I find a person and they're going blah, 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 blah. It goes in one ear and out the other. But then I found Naked Wines, not just a wine club. It's a direct line to the world's best independent winemakers, delivering world-class bottles right to your door. Use the code TMOS at nakedwines.com and snag 6 bottles for just $39.99. That's right. Six.
Six.
Here's the secret. Naked Wines cuts out the middleman. They suck. Middlemen.
I've never found one that I like.
They save you up to 60% without ever cutting quality. The result, I have sampled these wines. They're spectacular, by the way. Incredible wine straight from the vineyard to your glass. Now is the time to join the Naked Wines community. Head to nakedwines.com/TMOS. Click enter voucher and put in the code TMOS for both the code and password. You get 6 bottles of wine, $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off your first 6 bottles. nakedwines.com/TMOS. Use the code and password TMOS for 6 bottles, $39.99. Let's pop a cork, everybody. And let's talk about Costco. Rob said he discovered something truly disgusting. And then, in our next segment, we're going to talk about the movie that I saw and Josh saw. And we'll see if there's
you guys must be rich. I'm not spending $20 on a movie that Mike hated.
Yeah, well, it's tough sometimes.
And I've got a connection.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. You never pay for anything.
There you go.
Mike, we're down to being a one-car family, so I don't get to go to Costco as much. Mm-hmm. And Josh told me some news that really sort of intrigued me. And this weekend I went because they've put Coke products back in to the snack bar area. They had been Pepsi for a couple of years. And this is a huge change. This is great news because Coke makes a better product. So I went out and Carrie said, are you going to Costco? Can I make you a brief list? I said, yes. And she put like 16,000 items on the list. And I go through and I hadn't been to Costco in a while. And I want to remind people of some don'ts that you can't. These are things you can't do at Costco. Okay. Mm-hmm. First of all, and this is building to something. Don't go up to the lady or the scan machine and not have your card ready. Don't
Are
just
you talking
there.
About when you go to the kiosk?
No, no,
and
no.
Then you
when
order
you're
food?
Entering. No, when well, that's where they have Coke products. But now I'm starting with when you enter Costco.
The little iPad that scans your card.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm with
have
you.
Have
your
I'm card
you.
Ready.
And
that's
it's been there
so
long
stupid.
Enough now. It's been there long enough where people know the rules. They know the drill. Don't fish. Don't stand in the doorway and fish it out. I'm with you 100% on that.
I take it out in the car. Actually, it's because I want to make it to be smooth.
No, you take it out in the car because you're a dork.
That's right.
You hold it above your head as you're running towards the store.
I lick it and stick it to my forehead, and then I look into the iPad.
Take it out in the car. God.
Mike, because I'm about efficiency. Now, when you enter Costco.
No, because you have obsessive compulsive disorder.
Which results in efficiency. Okay. So when you go into the Costco, you're going to have to your left, huge televisions, and to your right, impulse buys. Now,
well, that's your Costco. Yeah. Some of them are differently laid out.
All right, I'll cede the television. Opposite. But
yeah, I have to the right are my TVs. To the left are like toothbrush heads and
but
sundries.
But the impulse buys are there on purpose. They're things that you don't normally think about, but when you see them, you're going to want to buy them.
Right.
That's why they make them be
the
first
good deals.
Yeah, they trick you. I mean, and it's vitamins or it's beach towels or something. Don't stop and look at the impulse items. Go, because there's one aisle that connects you to the rest of the store. So if you come
stop. It's wide enough for people to get around them if they want to stop. Come on now.
I've definitely slowed down and looked at those things.
Yeah. All right.
Something catches your eye, like socks.
Let's get to cart courtesy. All right.
Okay.
Every aisle in a properly laid out grocery store has the width for two grocery carts. That's just smart engineering. That way, if someone stops, someone can go around or go the other side. Do not ever put your cart perpendicular to the items or park your cart in the middle because you're blocking everyone, and that's selfish.
Did we lose him?
Are we here?
Hello?
Mike, are you there?
Mike might have closed something where Mike might have gone away.
But
I agree with you about the shopping carts.
It is laid out in such a way that you don't have to be a problem.
Can you guys hear me? Thumbs up if you can hear me.
Yes.
Okay. I can't hear you.
You can't hear us.
I can't hear you.
Josh, don't fill your cart with kids. I saw that this weekend. A cart had like four youngsters in it.
No,
don't
I put my wife
do that.
In there.
Well, that's fine. Just one person. Yes. Also,
can you hear me now?
I can still
hear you.
We
can hear you the entire time.
Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, I can hear you.
Should I just kick him and force him to restart?
No, no, no. Check his settings.
I'll be back.
All right. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Yeah, he hit something.
All right.
But no, you're right. I never understand why you would have to put your cart sideways like that.
Yeah. And when it's full of children, I heard a lady say, and I quote, "I'm not taking you to the hospital when you fall out of that cart and break your neck." I mean, that's just rude. You shouldn't be standing there. The carts are not for children.
Okay, yes, and not for standing in.
You put one child up into the seated area, and that's okay.
I've seen the parents that take how the one wall of the cart folds in.
Exactly.
Where they'll take it and flip it open and have their kids climb in.
Of course. That is like the most intelligent idiot you've ever seen. They're being efficient about it.
Have you seen the viral video with the lady that's hitting the guy? The old Karen
that's
pushing on the guy. All right, I'll have to find it and send it to Josh for tomorrow's show. I have to show you this where he gets really pissed off and they get the whole thing on camera, which is pretty cool, pretty fun.
Okay, two more things leading up to the bad, bad thing that I saw that you mustn't ever do at Costco. But when you go and you order your $1.50 hot dog and drink or your $1.80 pizza or whatever it is, and you order it at the little kiosk and then you wait for your number to be called, don't just stand there with your cart. Because if they've got three or four orders that are in the offing.
In fairness to the people that do that, it's a terribly laid out situation.
It is, but if you were to take your cart over to the tables and then return, then there's no problem.
No, because my tables are filled with people sitting.
And what about the people who want to grab a slice and head out the door?
And I don't trust people. I don't want to leave the cart of all the stuff I just paid hundreds of dollars for.
They're not going to get out if you have the receipt.
And I don't want to sit at one of those plastic picnic tables and eat. And I, by the way, I never buy food there. I hate
That's a mistake.
That is a mistake, Mike. Because that's what leads me up.
$1.50 for a
hot dog and a soda?
Would you like to know? Would you like to know my? I have a standard food thing. I get food when I'm at Costco almost every time I go in there. I buy
guess.
Go ahead.
The churro.
No, I buy the cocktail shrimp. And I get out to the car and pop open them and I eat them right in the car. Right in the car. I'll top it off with one of my new protein bars I get there. But I don't eat the pizza's nice, but it's crap pizza.
It's not good pizza, but the hot dog is 100%. Yeah.
And
I don't think they're doing the sausage anymore.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Which leads me to the biggest problem. I was going to get a soda. I was probably going to get a hot dog. And when I left the checkout stand, so help me God, you know how when you go to the drink fountain and they've got several different heads with all your flavors, Coke, Diet Coke, Sprite, all that stuff. And there's always one where if you hit a button, you just get water, right?
Okay.
I saw a lady at the drink fountain washing her hands in the water that came out of the drink dispenser.
That's good.
And
you're not going to get any blowback now. Jose.
No hot dog for me today because I'm not dealing with that. And really, like 13, 14 yards from a proper bathroom.
Did you call her on it?
No, I just left. I said, I don't want anything to do with this.
I may, if I saw that, I might have to say, so what are you doing? You're washing your hands where people's beverages are coming out?
Mike, she'd hit the little button, one hand under the water, and she'd rub her hands together.
Oh, my God. I don't think there's anything more gross. That is so nasty.
I have to assume afterwards she got a handful of napkins to dry off. But
nice beaver.
Yummy, yummy. Love it. So please, in my
observe these tips for a better Costco experience. And some of them are optional, but I'm going to stand firm.
I like
don't
that.
Wash your hands at the drink fountain.
That is so nasty.
It was bad.
We've got a little movie corner coming up here in just a second, ladies and gentlemen. But first, hey, listen to me. Caffeine junkies. Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Yes.
Charlie's Choice.
Oh, my gosh, Mike. I forgot we had a Charlie's Choice today.
Still awesome. And you can reorder or subscribe for some right now. Don't just drink coffee. Experience it. You got to have coffee. So, want to give yourself the best? Try pairing it with green olives or sardines. What are you doing? What the hell are you doing? We're trying to sell coffee here.
I'm proving to America
and
that it goes with everything.
Charlie's Choice music, for Christ's sake.
Oh, you want that? And what happened
of course
to
I want
the
that.
Pictures I was supposed to see?
Pictures I was supposed
Charlie's
to see?
Charlie's Choice.
That's right, Charlie.
How about a huge bundle of fennel? Well, the point I'm trying to make here, as I try to punch my way out of this, is that Charlie's Choice goes with everything.
That's it.
Charlie's Choice.
You can pair it with anything.
I just said that. Charlie's Choice is available in whole bean or fresh ground. Get a one-time order or save money like I do with a subscription and get our exclusive Charlie's Choice blend delivered right to your door. This premium medium roast blend is the best and freshest coffee you can find. It's crafted in small batches and roasted to order in the best town in Florida, St. Augustine, Florida. The best one because Josh lives there.
Yes.
So, support small business and enjoy a cup of Charlie today. But unlike Charlie, make sure you don't drink it while you're jet skiing. Second-degree burns are not fun.
He's so silly.
Get yours at the TMOS store, MichaelMaraShow.com. Start your day right with Charlie's Choice because...
it's good to the last sip.
Hot steaming Charlie.
Yum.
Because when Charlie says, duh... it's got to be good. Thank you.
Yummy.
Thank you, all. Thank you, Charlie. Charlie. We appreciate you, Charlie. Okay, I gave Josh a homework assignment. He did it with bells on and saw Nobody 2, the Bob Odenkirk sequel from Nobody, which was one of my favorite movies from, 2 years ago?
More than that. Yeah, probably like three. Yeah.
Really? 3 years ago? God, time flies when you're old. Nobody 2, the sequel. I kind of talked about it a little bit, but I want to hear what you thought of it, Josh.
Easy homework because it was a movie I wanted to see anyway.
Right.
And you bailed on it halfway through, is what you shared.
Yeah.
But I'm noticing a pattern that you do that often in movies.
I do.
And
yeah,
it doesn't mean the movie's bad. It means you get
bored.
Oh,
yes, it does. Oh,
no.
Yes,
no,
it does.
It means it's bad for him and everybody. And also, it means he respects the value of Mike O'Mara's time.
That's right.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you, I thought Nobody 2 was really fun. And the fact that you think it got corny and cartoony halfway through, the very first fight was ridiculous.
Right.
So it was that from the scene one.
Yes.
It was ridiculous.
So you're saying I shouldn't have stayed to the halfway mark? I should have bailed right at the beginning?
If it's not your type at the very beginning, it just got...
Does it have a totally different feel?
No.
Because that doesn't sound like the first one at all.
No, it's got the same feel as the first one.
Only bad. Only not as well done. Let me tell you about the first one.
Timu Nobody.
You have Russian gangsters. You have credible bad guys. And you have Bob Odenkirk, who's on the bus protecting the girl, and you realize how hyper-violent he gets. Not this business where he can't control his temper. It was never about that. It was the fact
fight,
that he...
The fight on the bus, I remember. I haven't seen the movie in years.
It's fantastic. One of the great movie fights of all time, in my humble opinion.
And
fantastic.
Also dripping with realism because the horror of being caught on a bus and having to fight is really...
And give a guy a trach tube because you punched him in the throat. Spectacular.
Tangibly frightening. Is there anything that approaches that in the sequel, Josh?
I thought, yes. I thought it was very fun. I thought all the fight scenes were fun. I think it wasn't trying to control his anger. It was trying to like be a proper father and family man and try
maybe
to separate
Mike,
his
you
two
didn't
lives.
Find you didn't was, find that they his, tested the credibility factor just a little too much, that we had to suspend disbelief a little too much, that he happens to go to the place where all those bad guys happen to be and happens to bust them out and happens to, I don't know. Sorry.
Mike, are you sure you didn't watch The Hulk?
I think that's
all movies. All movies, you happen to be at the right place at the right time. So I like to suspend disbelief.
So far, if you're keeping track of movies I hated that Josh liked, we've got, let's start with Nobody 2. He likes it. I hated it.
The next one, did I
recommended the Denzel, right?
Yeah.
I recommended the Spike Lee joint.
We both agree with that.
That's a good movie. So we both agree on that one. The Happy Gilmore sucked. Could not have sucked more.
I enjoyed Happy Gilmore.
Josh enjoyed both of them, yeah.
And there was a third one recently that was...
Naked Gun.
Naked Gun sucked.
Which I also enjoyed.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
And also, Mike, you split on Hubie Halloween. Because tis the season.
The other doesn't know what it is.
You just want to say it every day.
It's a good punchline because it's really a rotten movie.
It's a great movie.
Now it's great. Before it was just good.
Yeah. Name a good Halloween movie.
By the way,
Halloween.
A horror movie is separate.
Oh, okay.
Halloween. What's the one with Welcome to the Horrorthon? Halloween.
Oh, Silver Shamrock. Yeah.
I
think that's Halloween 3.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Yeah. The documentary about the lady we were talking with Harry.
Belle Gibson.
The real documentary is better than the drama. Much better. So if you want to really get the
drama, the apple vinegar one?
No, the apple. Yeah, the drama is the apple vinegar.
Okay.
And the real documentary is pretty heavy duty. It's just including the Australian 60 Minutes that got her on camera.
That got canceled too.
And her world came apart when she was doing that interview. She a lot of these people that are pathological, not necessarily the grifter like Harry was talking about,
right,
but somebody who's pathological and broken in that way, they think that they can right the ship themselves, and she couldn't. And she's shifty, and it's nasty.
And every time you say her name, it sounds like someone saying Mel Gibson, but they have adenoid trouble.
Belle Gibson.
Yes, apple juice, mother.
Did Belle Gibson get in trouble again? I'm not sure. I don't know what happened, but we'll find out shortly. So that's it. We didn't get to the iPhone release, and we didn't get to the Netflix recos for Based on Your Sign, which is craziness, which is weird. So we had too much show today, which is just the way I like it, especially on a Tuesday.
Tuesday?
Yeah, there you go. How about that, everybody? Hey, this program sponsored by Liquid IV. I'm out of sorts because I haven't put this in a glass yet.
Put it in a glass, Mike. Come on.
Liquid IV. Have you talked to the people at Liquid IV? They're selling this now. I got this. You should be talking about this in your copy. Have you followed up with them on this?
Yes, Mike. They have new copy that launches next week. I think you'll be very pleased.
Well, I've got the thing in my hand now. How come it launches next week?
Because that's what they say. And if they're smart enough to make Liquid IV as good as it is, I trust their judgment.
So I'm still talking about Orange Vanilla Dream?
It's great. Are you kidding me?
Liquid IV's Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier. Listen, I like the mango pineapple.
Yes.
I like the, I love this flavor of the sugar-free. White peach is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. I love the lemon lime. That's great. The Energy Liquid IV has the blackberry lemonade, which is another spectacular flavor.
Yes.
The one that's got sugar in it, it's not a sugar-free, but I drink it occasionally, is the raspberry lemonade, I believe, or the raspberry sugar. There are so many flavors that you could get on one of those world cruises.
Yeah.
You could pack your suitcase full of all the different flavors of Liquid IV, and you could finish your trip around the world without drinking all of them.
Drink one in every country, Mike.
Yep. 1 million flavors, pretty amazing.
Yeah.
There are not actually 1 million flavors. We should correct that, but it seems like it.
It does.
You get hydration that works way harder than water. I drink it every day. I know you see me drink it every day because it's packed with 3 times the electrolytes of sports drinks, 8 essential vitamins, non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, all the great sugar-free flavors. You gonna love it. Was out there on the surface of the planet humid where I live now. Sucking 2 big glasses of it down. I put a whole stick in one of those Yeti cups.
Yeah.
And then I drink it. Good flavor. It goes a little bit to the bottom. I put another full thing of water on, shake it up.
Shake it, baby.
And I get my liquid IV fix for the whole golf round. It's fantastic. Just one stick in water hydrates better than water alone. Savor the last bits of summer and get ready for autumn with Liquid IV. Tear poor, live more. Liquid IV, use the code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% off your first order with code TMOS at liquidiv.com.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry time.
Q107. Mike, I know you stepped away for a moment mid-show. Do you have your ordinance handy?
Yeah, I do. Always.
Great.
Always handy. That's all what
right.
I do.
There's a family. I've watched some of their videos, and they are so marvelously scary to watch because they look haunted.
Okay.
But they do parody records. And here's what. You love Paul Simon, right?
Do they do videos with scary stuff on?
No, it's not horror. It's just they look haunted. The people themselves, they look like they throw off a, what's the name of that family that has all the kids? The Duggars. They have a slight Duggar vibe, but now they're playing instruments. And if you really want fun, look at the girl in the lower left. She doesn't know what the hell she's doing with her ukulele. Okay. But Mike, I know you love Paul Simon. So here's a little comment on current events.
FK. He don't know what he's doing, it's RFK. He's making the sign, so you best beware.
Who's the girl we're supposed to be looking at?
Lower left.
It's not only corona.
Doesn't want to be there.
No.
We'll see measles and polio down in the schoolyard.
There might be two that want to be there.
Yep, yeah. I agree.
The bass playing kid likes it. He's fun. And the dad.
See, I think it's the dad and the kid sitting on the floor. No one else wants to be there.
As somebody who would like to see RFK on an island far away, never to be seen again, do you think that really, let me just say, think that really helps my cause? Do you think that helps my cause when you see that garbage out there where it's like, ha, 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 we're all going to die, duh.
Jesus Christ. You should hear their take on Bohemian Rhapsody where they don't like our president. It's equally unfun.
Yeah, they're, you're not doing us any favors. You're not doing us any favors at all.
There's an old expression.
Trying. They only care about themselves.
The old expression, you want to help, don't help.
Don't help.
Did you ever put Michael in daycare? I don't think you ever did you?
We do what's called aftercare after school.
Right.
And, you know, that's
But I'm talking about like a youngster. We did Robert and Julia, I think, for only a couple months. It's prohibitively expensive. It's horrible. And God forbid you send them to this daycare center.
Member shared this photo of the 4-year-old's swollen hand after they say he was bitten near his ring finger. The New Beginnings Child Enrichment Center says it happened on the playground and that a worker killed the copperhead. Family members say the 4-year-old was playing near a sandbox when he was bitten by the snake. This morning we spotted children back on the playground here at the daycare. We asked the daycare if they alerted other parents about the incident, and we were told they aren't commenting. I spoke with the boy's aunt by phone. Earlier, she says the boy's guardian was initially told the 4-year-old had a splinter or possibly broke his hand.
But they lied about the copperhead bite?
Of course.
At the daycare.
Yeah.
The director got up and said he got snake bit. My first thought was, why didn't they call 911? My second thing was, like, does the parents even know about the other parent?
I like when she says my second thing was.
His body just wasn't going with him.
It wasn't going with him, Mike.
Mm-hmm. Watch out there. You know what they're going to be next time, cobras?
Mike, and also, you know what? Tarantulas.
Brown recluses.
Yeah, it's all bad.
Watch out now.
Mike, this commercial, in my estimation, ran on television for about 1,000 years. Tell me if you remember it.
Mr. Turtle, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop?
Remember it?
Yeah. I never made it without biting. Ask Mr. Owl.
So Mr. Owl is the next one he talks to.
Right.
Tootsie Roll, I think they're owned by Hershey. I don't know for sure.
Okay.
Tootsie Roll has remastered that spot. They have redone the animation, duplicating the original, but making it look sharp, putting the proper Tootsie Roll logo in it, and using AI to recreate the soundtrack because the original one wasn't valid for restoration. This is where the money goes when you buy...
They are their own company.
Oh, they are? I did not know that. Okay. This is where the money goes when you buy a Tootsie Pop, Mike. They've made this digitally perfect.
Mr. Turtle, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop?
I never made it without biting. Ask Mr. Owl.
So these are AI voices.
How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop?
Let's find out. One, he bites two, it. Three. Three.
How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop? The world may never know.
Great ad.
Orange great. Is the best one, I think. Yeah. Orange is the best flavor.
That ad was done by Don Draper.
Was it really? Back in the day.
Yeah, fantastic.
Super.
Yeah, really good job.
You know, Mike, safety is always paramount at my house.
And I know that.
We wanted to get some new flooring, and I thought, where better to find out the best way to get flooring than to go to YouTube? And I think we're going to redo our kitchen floor with this because it sounds safe to me.
Okay.
Smart woman. She's putting a new floor down by herself. Wise woman. She's using Kentile vinyl asbestos tile. She can even put Kentile vinyl asbestos directly over old linoleum. All she needs is a brush, scissors,
and it's Kentile coming up into her lungs there.
Yep.
A beautiful playroom like this.
Oh.
A kitchen like this.
There he is.
Or a bedroom like this.
There.
With Kentile.
This guy. There he is, this guy.
You get a choice of all the newest.
He's holding asbestos, ladies and gentlemen.
Tones and shades.
It tastes so good.
And best of all, you get a floor that's greaseproof, long-lasting, easiest to keep clean.
And easiest. A ticket to the cancer ward.
There you are. I'm going to go smoke a pack of Lucky Strikes on my asbestos floor.
I like seeing the announcer, though. You wonder where those voices come from.
Yeah, and you see he's a big, long guy like Dude Walker, right?
Yeah,
a big,
exactly.
Tall guy that's like, here it is. Yummy.
Asbestos. Mm-hmm. People complain about the price of eggs. I've heard the complaints about the price of beef. Do you know that groceries are still a great deal?
Well, looks like you bought a bundle of groceries there, ain't they?
It seems to cost a bundle, too.
Yeah, it does.
You know, bitch.
What? Food's a bargain today. The consumer spends the smallest percentage of his after-tax dollar for food than any time in the history of the United States. Only 19 cents out of every dollar.
Is that true?
And what's more, people in this country spend less of their total income on food than do people anywhere in the world.
Well, that's a good thing to know.
So when you hear talk about the cost of food, just give out the facts. Food is a bargain.
And I'll say you said so.
Me and the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
This message was brought to you by General Foods.
So well, I was nice thinking, beaver, great beaver. I'm sorry, I did not
sorry
bring up
that.
The fan.
Sorry about
nice
that.
Nice beaver.
No, anytime I see Aunt B.
Nice beaver.
That's what the B stood for. Did you know that?
Yeah, beaver. Yeah.
Aunt Beaver.
You know, she hated being there.
Oh, right? And she didn't talk to Andy until she was like within hours of her death.
Yeah,
she detested it.
Terrible.
And
terrible.
She had an almost new car that was like 30 years old with the tires rotten off it in her garage.
Yeah,
because B didn't drive around.
Very strange lady. Very strange.
But I was thinking about how they're proud there. That's roughly 20% that you spend on food. Doesn't that seem a bit high?
Well, I mean, it's high now, you know?
I mean, the percentages should stay in line, and they're proud that 19% of your budget is going to food. That's a lot of money.
I don't think that's a lot.
Really?
I don't know. I think about the rest of the world, and we do spend and waste our money on junk.
Yeah, like asbestos floors.
Yeah, currently, with inflation, we spend 60% of our budget on food.
And that's just you?
No, that's just Boar's Head. Oh, I got him. Well,
You gave up on grocery stores. You now just go to restaurants.
Yes, just restaurants, and I always ask for Boar's Head.
You go to the dealer. Mm-hmm. You go to the Boar's Head. Mike, I'm going to close with a tape that is actually called This Is Not Funny, Do Not Laugh.
Okay.
And I broke the rules. It made me laugh.
Some about to tell are not funny, so don't laugh. Have you heard of the new sport, quiet tennis? It's just like tennis, but without the racket. It's not funny. How much does a rainbow weigh? Not much. It's pretty light. It's not funny. What's the fastest way to mess up someone's knock-knock joke?
This is not funny.
It's open. It's not funny. Don't laugh.
This
what do
is
you
funny.
Do if you get rejected for a job at a sunscreen company? You reapply. It's not funny. You want to hear two short jokes and a long joke? Joke.
He loves it.
I guess you didn't think it was funny.
And you're laughing at him, aren't you?
I'm laughing
you're laughing at him.
At him.
Yes, I know. Yes. I know. That's great. That's a minute I won't get back.
I'm laughing at how simple it takes to make Rob laugh.
Yeah, it's a minute, and I look at it as like 30, 45 seconds. I'm never getting it back. Ever again.
Actually, how Mike looks at it is 33 years he's never going to get back.
Never back, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back, though, with a brand new episode tomorrow, and looking forward to it. Our thanks to Harry. His podcast is The Messenger, The Rachel Cancer Scam. Look for that wherever you get your podcasts. And it's a fascinating story about grifting and love gone wrong and escorts and anything and cancer, anything you can imagine.
Oh, and registered nursedom.
Yes, absolutely. We'll see you tomorrow for Josh Soroka and Rob Spiewak. Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Joke.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Oh, I think it's marvelous. Some of it really fine.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand
that? Shut up!
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.